Geeks and Nerds, and welcome to Real Geeks, the show where we get real geeky about what's now, what was, and what will be in the world of geeky cinema. I'm your host, Trevor Batson. There's one particular film that we are here to talk about, and that is Split. And with that, I carry over to the interview I had with the guests for this episode. Split. The latest by writer-director M. Night Shyamalan.
Yay!
Now, Pig Monkey and Carol, you have both seen this film.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring this review to discussion. So, Carol, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the film?
I enjoyed the film. I liked the fact that action started very quickly, and I think it's the type of movie that women are likely to be more frightened than men. I think that's fair to say without a spoiler. It might be more impactful. Generally, I like the acting that was through it. There were some really, really great points, which I'm not going to get into until we start talking about spoilers. I wasn't satisfied with the ending. I thought that it overall could have gone for more scary stuff. It's a psychological thriller, you know, but I don't think it lived fully up to its potential. But it was fun, and I'd watch it, and I did, and I'll watch it again, maybe.
Big Monkey, what are your general thoughts coming out of the film?
Well, honestly, I wanted to floss my balls with a chainsaw rather than see another M. Night Shyamalan movie. I mean, I love The Sixth Sense. I loved Unbreakable. I even liked a couple of other of his, but as soon as we got to The Happening and then Avatar The Last Airbender, he lost all credibility with me. So my expectations, I'm just telling you this because my expectations were really low, and he met them right on. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. I would say if you liked some of his earlier stuff, you'd like this, but felt kind of forced in a lot of ways to me.
For me, I really enjoyed the film. I saw his film that came before this, The Visit, and much going into that, I was coming from a similar standpoint as you, Andrew, of this man just doesn't seem to have a handle on making movies anymore. Oh, what else can he do wrong? But I heard going into it that there was some decent critical reception to it. The Visit was marketed as a horror comedy. It did just that. It was terrifying at moments. It was laugh out loud funny at others. And ultimately, it made me start to think, him and Blumhouse Productions, they seem to have a good relationship going on. It's definitely something he did not have for a lot of his previous films with the studios he worked with there. They definitely seem to be reining in their control a little bit more on his films, and I think that more than necessarily his directing was the flaw in those films. Not that he's completely out of blame because he's the director, but after The Visit, I was a little bit more optimistic going into Split, and I was honestly surprised. Was the movie flawless? Definitely not, but it was definitely a lot more enjoyable than some of his previous films. I think that's a decent vagueness for now in terms of the movie. Let's head into spoiler territories. So, spoiler warning, if you have not yet seen Split.
I could have saved myself 2 hours and just watch the last 30 seconds of that film. That's all I would have needed. Really, because I'm like, that made the movie of interest to me. Up until that last 30 seconds, it was just another sort of attempt to make a crazy psycho movie with multiple personalities.
There was definitely a lot of the tropes that we tended to see with M. Night Shyamalan, because he has this tendency to kind of go for almost stereotypes of characters. And granted, James McAvoy did a really good job with the material he had to create that character of all these personalities. You did feel that he was this personality at this time, and this personality at this time, and so on. But those personalities in and of themselves were stereotypes. Let's be perfectly honest.
I think they were supposed to be in some way. Like, they all reflect an aspect of his fractured personality. But, I mean, there were, what, 24 personalities? And we only saw, four or five.
Less than half of them.
Yeah.
We saw, like, a few in person, and then the rest we saw on video.
Yeah. A couple of videos.
See, I don't like you. I don't agree with you at all about the last 30 seconds. For me, that ruined it.
Really?
That ruined it, because it was there's going to be another movie. Watch my other movie. You know there's going to be another movie, don't you?
Yeah, but he's been wanting to return to Unbreakable for years now. There are people who are fans of Unbreakable, myself included, that have wanted him to return to it for years.
There was no need to connect those two whatsoever. If, you know, looking at the movie as a person that has DID and who's and a couple of these personalities are completely aberrant, which is not the case with a lot of people that have DID out there, I wanted to say as well. This was, I think, enough to stand on its own. In that he got the action going. He didn't make the mistake that a lot of horror movies make where they take such a long time. No, boom, they take them. Now, I will say, when they took them, why the girl that's in the front seat doesn't jump out of the car when she sees the other ones being put down, it's like, wait a minute, you've got all this time. And then he's even looking at her like he doesn't care until she slowly goes for the door and then sprays her. I'm thinking, why aren't you holding your breath by this point?
I mean, we run into this issue, like, there are all these tropes. If at one point she's looking to escape, she picks up a chair and hits James McAvoy in the back, and James McAvoy collapses. Now, this is where reality diverges from a movie. Mm. Because in reality, the person raises the chair back up and continues to beat on this person until they are absolutely not able to get back up again.
Exactly.
But no, you run away. See, these are the things that bug me about movies. I would love to see the heroine or one of the girls get up and beat the ever-loving crap out of them with a chair. Right? You never see that coming, because it never happens. The victim never turns around and goes, oh, wait a second, you're unconscious, and I have a chair.
I found it interesting, too, that, you know, I mean, they did discuss that, but then they poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's way too strong. And, oh, well, I've got all this karate and shit. Well, we never got a chance to see her karate and shit, because it was like, you know, come on.
We got to see your bowels.
Yeah, you know, that was probably a little too much. The one acting scene that I really liked was when McAvoy played one character who was pretending to be another character.
That was actually quite brilliant.
I really liked that. You know, but overall with his performance, I'm always reminded of what was it, Wingfield Follies, when I've seen that at the Neptune. And the acting performance that's done in that of different characters with no changes in makeup or anything else, I think is like far superior to what I saw in this movie. So, you know, was it the best portrayal, the best acting that I've seen? No. But that one part, I thought that was totally gold.
And, you know, out of a two-hour movie, if you can walk away with 2.5 minutes of gold, it was definitely worth your time.
There was suspense. There was a little crawl hole that they could have gotten out of. There was, like, voices on the other side. They almost got keys. They almost did a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But
it was almost a heroine to come and save them.
Yeah.
Who was the heroine?
The psychiatrist.
Yes, that's right.
And then in the end, when everything has gone sideways. The bad guy has been released. He's able to take shotgun blasts to the chest. And eventually, he's seconds away from tearing apart the only person in the entire movie who you can make any kind of, like, personal association with. And he takes a look at her, and she's got scars all over her body and burn marks from her crazy abusive asshole uncle. And he says, "Oh, never mind. You're fine."
Yeah.
And leaves her alone. So, what exactly is the moral there? Is the moral, if you let your crazy ass uncle cut on you, supervillains won't kill you? Like,
yeah, that is definitely, of all the flaws in the movie, I would definitely agree that that is probably the most blatant.
See, I think that's a different message that's being missed there. And it's the one that hardship breeds character and strength to a degree that people don't understand. And that these people have reacted to these extreme, extreme things with these defense mechanisms. And that these defense mechanisms are stronger than anybody would imagine. You know, the whole idea that you can cut back on one of your senses or one part of your brain in this movie, and then the other part becomes stronger. That you gain abilities in one personality that your original personality didn't have. And those gains and checks and balances within all of that are all due to all of that suffering. Now, do I think people should all be lined up and just tortured until they have this? No. That would not be the case. But the recognition that victims, survivors, come out of their victimology with a strength that people who have never had to suffer have, I think is absolutely true.
Hmm. In conclusion, our final rating on the film. Overall, not a perfect film, but definitely stronger than I had expected. And so overall, I give it a 4 out of 5. Andrew?
It is not a perfect film. And my genuine argument that films are now made too long nowadays definitely applies here too. But I'd give it a solid 3. 3 out of 5. Maybe even I'd go as high as 3.25. Pi. I'll give it 3.14. It's worth pi.
I like pi.
If you went for looking at a movie that involved, women being taken and the psychological elements involving that, it was entertaining. The interactions with the therapist and everything I thought were quite enlightening, and especially her scenes where she was trying to espouse her philosophies and her theories on the matter. I'm not sure how practical they are, but they gave me something to think about later, so I think I'd even bring it to a 4 with you, yeah.
All right. I'd like to thank you for watching this inaugural episode of Real Geeks. I'm Trevor Batson, and until next time, that's a wrap.